Welcome to the Spotlight with Sean Taylor podcast, Pizza Month edition. October is National Pizza Month, and I, Sean Taylor, am on my fifth annual mission to eat a slice of pizza a day at 31 different locations with at least one witness. This podcast is an audio log of my quest for the 31 days of pizza. Today was day 27 of Pizza Month 2006, and I went to Nick's Pizza. I met up with
Ron Taylor,
and I ordered two slices of pepperoni and one slice of cheese. Today is day 27, October 27th, and we are going to Nick's Pizza, which is on 2nd Avenue between 93rd and 94th Street, and I'm going with
Ron Taylor.
Pizza was just brought to our table, and it is half pepperoni and half cheese, and it's all fresh mozzarella cheese. The pepperonis are loaded. I mean, there are tons of pepperonis on the pepperoni side. A lot of them towards the center. I think that the thickness of the outer crust sort of pushed a lot of the toppings inward. And because we only ordered toppings on half, I know that's true, because on the cheese side, all the cheese seems to have flattened out nicely, and it's pretty well distributed. The basil leaves are cut. How would you describe that type of cut of the basil leaves?
One bias. One angle and a bias.
Yeah. They're that thing. And they're, I'd say shredded maybe also. The pepperonis do curl up into the, like, I know we've called it grease buckets, but I think it's just because of them drying out with the high heat on the edges, so therefore it becomes concave and stores up the grease in the middle because it doesn't dry up. Cools. The rest of it, though, looks pretty good. I mean, if this sauce is going to be good, I think that we're going to like these pizzas. We'll see, though. I just finished eating two slices of pepperoni and one slice of cheese. And I love the cheese and like the pepperoni. Pepperoni, I think due to the center loading, it didn't cook as evenly. There was also a lot of oil, and the architectural integrity of it, when I lifted up the slice, made it a little more difficult. I had to distribute the pepperonis myself, and some of them even were sacrificed, and I still have them on my plate. My eating partner, though, Ron Taylor, he was able to magnificently keep the pepperonis on the slice from only holding it on the crust, and they didn't fall at all, did they? I figured I'd wait till he took a bite before I asked her a question. He and I both, I think, really enjoyed the pizza. What I really was amazed about is they're like cinder block ovens. They seem to be like that cinder block material or concrete, but they're right at the end of the store, so it kind of gives like a nice ambiance to the store. It doesn't have the same smell as like wood burning or coal firing, but it's just a pleasant place to sit. There's music in the background, but it is in the background. It's not intrusive at all, in the least. We're able to have a good conversation. And back to the pizza, I really like the fresh mozzarella cheese, which we both commented that it's pliable. You know, it's tasty and worthwhile in itself, just for the fresh mozzarella in the type of oven it's cooked in. The crust, it does look charred on the underside and on the tips, on the edge, but it provides a good foundation for the rest of the slice. As it cools, it does start to get a little bit hard, but not like coal and wood. It's still chewy even after all this time, and pliable. There's that word again. But I really enjoyed it. And Ron, is this the first time you've been to Nick's?
Yes, it is.
And how did you hear about Nick's?
From you.
From me?
No. I actually researched coal and wood burning, and then this place popped up, and the article said that it was similar to a coal or a wood-fired oven product, but without it. And so they said he was doing a tremendous job without having the oven.
Yeah, and I agree with that article, even though I didn't rate it. Have you ever had wood or coal-fired pizza?
Once or twice.
And what do you? How do you think this compared?
Just about equivalent.
And what did you end up eating? What did you eat tonight?
The rest of the pie.
So let's see. There were
five slices.
And five slices, three cheese, two pepperoni.
That sounds pretty.
Not bad.
Pretty good recollection.
Yeah. That was pretty good. And you also had a beverage, which was delicious. What is it called again?
Moretti.
Moretti draft. Now, you know more about, actually, all beer than anyone I know. What's your favorite Italian beer?
Honestly, I don't drink much Italian beer. I'm into American micros now, so.
Do you have a favorite American micro?
I like them all.
Your favorite American micro is all of the American.
Oh, Dogfish Head, any of the Dogfish Head.
Dogfish
from,
Head.
From Delaware.
That's a real name of a...
Brewery.
Wow. Are you from Delaware?
No. Did you like McQueen, Steve?
Steve McQueen. I've heard so many good things about him, but I haven't seen as many movies with him in it.
Jumping the...
Great Escape.
Yeah.
On the motorcycle, because you love motorcycles.
Yeah.
Do you have that same kind of bike that Steve McQueen had?
No, I have a BMW 1150 GS.
A Beamer? Yeah. I didn't even know they made bikes.
I didn't know they made cars. It's an old thing. It's a motorcycle joke.
Motorcycle.
I didn't know BMW made cars.
Well, what about, do you ever do tricks on your motorcycle?
Not intentionally. My few wheelies have all been... sudden and unexpected.
Now, when I think of motorcycles, I tend to think of Harley Davidson. What is it that makes a Harley Davidson different than a other bike, say like a Beamer or Kawasaki?
At the risk of insulting Harley Davidson people and not meaning to, Harley Davidson can be almost a lifestyle or a perception. And it's visceral. You can literally, if someone doesn't have mufflers on their Harley Davidson, you can almost feel it, you can hear it, and it's probably the earliest memory of motorcycles that I have lying in bed as a kid in the summer with no air conditioning, as you know we used to not have back in the 50s and 60s, and hearing motorcycles in the distance.
Is it true that they have a patent on the sound it makes?
I think there's almost, it very well may be true.
Like a chopper or something like that, right?
Yeah, because of the way the cylinders fire, there's a certain loppity lop in the engine, and it's unique.
So, like, if you're not looking, would you be able to tell if a bike was a Harley Davidson or not?
Yeah, I mean, don't put me to the test, but...
Here, loppity, 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 lop. Is that a Harley Davidson?
That's it.
Does Indian bicycles have anything to do with India Pale Ale?
No.
Does India Pale Ale have anything to do with India?
Yes, because they were shipping, as I had explained to you once before, they were shipping the ale to the soldiers in India because the British Empire covered such a vast realm.
So India Pale Ale is not brewed in India?
No. It was brewed primarily in Britain for the troops. They hopped it very heavily and raised the alcohol content to preserve it in the days before refrigeration in the hold of the ship. And the soldiers developed such a taste for it that when they came back to Britain, they wanted it. And so then it became became a local phenomenon.
Nick's Pizza is also a local phenomenon. If you're in the Upper East Side, you should try out Nick's Pizza. Thanks, Ron, for joining me for pizza.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to the Spotlight with Sean Taylor podcast. Pizza Month Edition, please stay subscribed and follow me in my quest for the 31 Days of Pizza.